Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God who has given us strength to be obedient yet again to gather together in his name, entering into his courts with thanksgiving and his throne room with praise. Oh, glorious God, we praise you and we magnify you and we honor you this day. For this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we rejoice in you this day because you have given us another chance to serve you. You have given us another chance to grow closer with you in an intimate relationship with you, to study your word. We are thankful right now for the best gift that you have ever given us, oh God, which is the gift of life that you have given us, the gift of eternal life that you have given us through Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the God of our salvation. And we glorify you, and we honor you, and we praise you, and we say thank you, Lord, for our eternal life right now. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is doing some great and mighty things in our lives, amen. I am so honored to be here again with you guys. This is our sixth show. Wow. We've been here 6 weeks in a row. We got one more to go, and I'm just excited. So thank you so much again for joining us today in our live broadcast around the world. We are shouting out and saying hello, and God bless you to all of the listeners that's listening and watching us abroad, Kenya and Norway, Jamaica and India, Pakistan, United Kingdom, Philippines, Vietnam, Togo, Australia, Switzerland, and the United States. We say hello. We say God bless you. We say that we love you. God loves you, and we are thankful that you are our brothers and sisters in Christ and that you are sitting here with us today to study his word so we can grow in the army of God together. Amen. I am Evangelist Yolanda Reeves from Anointed and Accessory Prayer Ministry, and like I mentioned before, we are in our six of our seven shows. We were bestowed upon this blessing from Evangelist Linda from Gatekeepers Ministry to host seven shows, and we are just honored, and we're having a good time, amen. So just remember that all of our previous shows, if you missed any, and our last show that's coming up next week will be on demand, and they are on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministries. So remember to do your part in spreading the gospel and inviting someone to listen and share the link through all your social media sites and text it abroad so that way we can do our part in being vessels in the kingdom of God, impacting lives. Amen. So God is doing a great and mighty thing. Blessing over the word from our Hebraic tongue, we say, Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvotav, V'tzivanu La'asok B'Dvarei Torah. And we just declare, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. You have sanctified us in your commandments, and you have commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of your Torah, your Torah being defined as your guidance and your instructions, the accurate arrangement of all things, the teachings of your word from Genesis to Revelations, and the revealing of your living word through your Ruach HaKodesh, which is your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for being in this place right now. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in a great way, and we ask you to do the teaching. We ask you to lead each and every one of us. And as we already listened to the shofar, we thank you that our atmosphere is cleansed and is conducive for a mighty move in you. Open up our ear gates, open up our eye gates, prepare our hearts, oh God, and cleanse our heart to be able to move in new heights and new dimensions in your living word. Amen. And we receive it right now in Yeshua's mighty name. Thank God, and amen, and amen. Teaching and hosting the last 6 weeks, this is 6 weeks now, has been, it's been a journey. It's been a journey. Every Monday, right before it's time to have the show, it's always something that's going on. And I just thank God for the spirit of the maturity and the maturing in the spirit. I thank God for being able to be in position to hear the word that he is actually using me as an administrator to put on put out in the atmosphere. I'm thankful to be able to hear it because not only is it is going out there to you guys, but it's helping me tremendously. It's helping me mature. It's helping me grow. It's helping me with patience. It's helping me grow in understanding and being able to just apply the word myself in my life. I'm not just here teaching you guys. I'm here being sitting here being taught myself. Amen. The Holy Spirit is just using my body to teach me as well as you, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity. So today we are going to discuss the topic of giving, the gift of giving. Amen. And I have to laugh sometimes because every time I hear that, if I'm around a church or a ministry or anything like that, the first thing I think about is, oh boy, here they go, they're getting ready to ask for money. So we're talking about giving today, but no, I'm not going to ask you guys for any money. That's not what we're talking about. We are going to learn about the divine principles that's associated with the gift of giving. Giving doesn't always mean money, and that's why it's very important for us to touch this topic. And a lot of people often assume when you hear something about giving, oh, they need money, or they're talking about money. So giving is also a heart issue. And that's important for us to address that too. Giving is a heart issue that is broken down by time, talents, and finances. When you think about giving, don't always think about it as a monetary form. Think about it as giving of your time, thinking about it as giving your talents, and then think about it in the monetary form lastly, the finances. Think about that last and foremost. And we're going to go over some scriptures. We're going to define giving like we did in the previous shows when we're defining a topic, and we're going to review the scriptures and see what's going on and how the Holy Spirit wants us to really move in this new height, really get our hearts prepared and our hearts are transformed so we can be walking in this giving nature. Amen. So while I'm looking up this, the word giving from an English perspective, and it says freely transfer the possessions of something to someone, to hand over to. It means to cause or allow someone or something to have something, especially something abstract, or to provide or supply with. So that's the English definition of giving. The Hebrew definition of giving is tzedaka, and that's T-Z-E-D-A-K-A-H, for those that are taking notes. And remember, anytime that you're coming in the presence of God and you're listening and you're studying under the Word of God, you should always be taking notes. Because remember that the Word of God, you need to study to show yourself approved to whom? Rightly divided to whom? To God, not to man. Don't always just sit and just be fed without going back and researching and verifying, clarifying, because you need to be able to grow in your spiritual height of discernment and knowledge and understanding. And that comes by applying your study skills and applying, you know, all the things that we're teaching. Amen. So make sure that you go back and review these things that we are going over and that we've gone over and that you will be going over when you're under any man or woman of God in teaching. Amen. So the Hebrew word for giving is tzedaka, and it's actually defined as an act of righteousness that comes from our duty to help others in need. It's understood as the word charity, and the root word is formed from means justice or fairness rather than generosity. It means doing the right thing by demonstration of love giving to others. Doing the right thing, demonstrating your love by giving to others. So I like studying from the Hebraic perspective because it conveys a different meaning. You know, we can get the similar understanding of it, but it does convey a deeper meaning to what is truly trying to be conveyed. When we were teaching last week, we were talking about law and grace. And all of our teachings from starting with the first one was walking in love. They're a foundational building. And I know anything we learned, but I noticed that how Father, the Holy Spirit, has been building upon building, precept upon precept, line upon line. He's been building us to be able to really walk in his height. So the scripture reference that we're just going to use right now was Psalms 119, 172. And it says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Why are we looking at this scripture right now? Because it says tzedaka which is the word give or charity from a Hebraic perspective, it says it's an act of righteousness that comes from our duty to help others in need. So if it's an act of righteousness, what does the scripture say righteousness is? Because we're defining give, amen? It's an act of righteousness. So in Psalms 119, 172, it says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. All thy commandments are righteousness. What are commandments? Psalms 119, 151, it says, thou art near, O Lord, O Jehovah, and all thy commandments are truth. Woo! Then Psalms 119, 142, it says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. So we can see that righteousness is commandment, and righteousness also breaks down to the truth. Who is the truth? That's Yeshua. So when we're speaking about walking in righteousness, when we're talking about giving, you see that we just reviewed grace and law, and we discussed these scriptures, some of these scriptures, last week. One of them was omitted by accident, and I needed it, and I didn't want to stumble upon it and mess up the service, but that was Psalms 119, 142. We left that out by accident. So you see that we studied grace and law last week. Now we're building on that. We're building on the understanding of walking in the commandments, walking in God's guidance and instructions, so we can be able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, walk in the characteristics of Christ to be able to give. It's a heart issue because some of us don't even understand how to love God, how to love Christ. Now, Christ is telling us, if you love me, you'll obey me. And what are you going to obey? You're obeying his commandments. What is his commandments? His commandments is the law, and his law is the truth. You're obeying everything that Father tells you to do. And for a form of that is walking in righteousness, which is a form of giving. Amen? So let's continue to go on. It says, there's one thing I wanted to mention, and I wanted to clarify that. And I believe I mentioned it last week, and I wanted to make sure that it was corrected this week. The Ten Commandments is the commandments of God. That's what we read, the Ten Commandments. They also call that the law of God. The law of Moses is incorporated with the Ten Commandments and sacrificial system or ceremony laws. And I believe I mentioned that the law of Moses was the same as the Ten Commandments. And if I did, that was an error. So the correction on that is the Ten Commandments is the commandments of God or the law of God. And you have to have that understanding because you're going to read several stuff about the law. And for those that had joined us last week, review that. But the law of Moses is the Ten Commandments. So it's the law of God. And it's also the sacrificial or ceremony laws. Now, those are what we are actually done away with, the ceremonial laws, the sacrificial laws, because Yeshua was our sacrifice. So if we did mention that last week, that is a correction because we do not want you walking in any type of error. Amen? So let's continue. So the Spirit comes out of a heart of righteousness, and the heart of righteousness is established by doing what? Following, obeying, and loving God's commandments and his laws. So it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What are we talking about? We're talking about giving. We're talking about the importance of giving today, not just in monetary form, but of your time, but of your talent. Amen? And also of finances. And we're going to deal with finances last, because that's one subject that is overrated in the churches, overrated in society. So you've already heard many of the many scriptures, but maybe of your time and your talent, you may not have been addressed to where you can understand it. So it says every man gives according to the purpose of his heart. You see that? And that's why you have to understand that maybe sometimes if you don't want to give your time to help someone, if you don't want to give your talents or your gifts that Father gives you, your talents meaning what you're capable of doing, whether it's cleaning or doing hair, or if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, you know, whatever it is, that the talent that Father has given you, that you are gifted and blessed with, organization, that's a talent, that's a gift. Many people don't know how to be organized. So those things are things that you are able to bless people with. Amen? So those are something that you can give. So he says, every man according to the purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, out of the Amplified Version, same scripture, it says, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in what? In his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Amen? So let's move on. We broke it down, so we're going to talk about gift of time, gift of talent, and gift of finances. In Matthew 19:21, we're going to read it. And this is the scripture that Father gave us. It says, Yeshua, Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. This is what the scriptures reference is about. Matthew 19:21, and we're going somewhere, and Father's going to explain to you why he gave us this scripture to read. We're starting at verse 16, actually, and we're going to read down. So it says, Matthew 19, go with me to verse 16, and we're going to begin. And it says, now behold, one came and said to him, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And a young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to the disciples, assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astounded, saying, who can then be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters or fathers or mothers and wives and children and lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first. When Father gave me that scripture, I asked him, why are we reading this scripture if we're talking about the gift of time? You're talking about giving of your time. And he said to me, you can see that the Holy Spirit wants you to see first and foremost that he addressed that you must understand his commandments and obey them. When the man started asking Father what he needed to do, Father told him, okay, well, first you need to do this. You need to follow the commandments of God. And then he said, okay, well, I've been doing that. So then he said, oh, okay, well, then go sell everything you have and come follow me. So Father said that I want you to realize that you have to follow my commandments. You have to obey me. And then I want you to see that it's not always about money. Realize that having money is not everything. He is everything. Amen? And he wants you to see that the act of following him requires much giving of your time. And I was like, wow, that's awesome, Daddy. So he says, complete time to follow him and to be alone with him. It takes a lot of time to walk with him and talk with him and study him and acknowledge him in his ways. It takes a lot of time to grow mature in the spirit for you to be able to display the love and the characteristics of Christ to be able to give your time to someone else without grudging, without doing it resentfully, without doing it not cheerfully, because you have to grow and mature in the heart, and you have to have a heart of righteousness to be able to fully give your time to someone without complaining. I know how to do hair, and sometimes a lot of styles take a long, long time, and you have to be creative when you're doing hair. And I have an individual in the church, and I noticed that they needed their hair done. And I was sitting there, and I felt convicted because Father blessed me with a gift. And it's not about money. It's not about money. He blessed me with a gift for me to be able to be a blessing to someone that may not can afford to do something like that. So it bothered me for weeks. I'm not going to lie. It bothered me for weeks because I sit behind this individual, and I'm looking at the back of their head, and I'm saying to myself, now, you know, you can really, really do something really nice for her. And finally I did it, and it took me 2 days to do her hair, and she looks beautiful. She's totally transformed. The gift of my time that I took 2 days to do her hair, the gift of my talent, which we're getting ready to talk about next, to be able to bless someone, for them to be able to have something that I can do. This is what Father's talking about. We have to come out of ourselves sometimes and look at other people around us and say, Father, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I give an act of righteousness and lend it to someone that is in need? And not look at what they can do for me and how can I receive something back, but to give with the heart of God, full of love, cheerfully, not looking back for nothing. Amen? So we need to be this type of givers. We need to have that type of heart. Amen? Psalms 90:12, and it says, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Why are we using that scripture? Because we're talking about the gift of time, giving of your time. Time is so precious. Time is the one commodity that you really, truly can't be paid for. It's irreplaceable. It's irreplaceable. It's a very valuable thing. And that is a gift that you can give anybody at any time. An elderly person that doesn't have no one that come and visit all the time, or family and friends, you can go spend an hour with them and give them a gift of an hour of your time to bless them with just conversation and laughter. You can give the gift of your time by going, what we're doing right now. You're tithing into the heavenly realm right now with what? With your time to God. You're giving him the most valuable thing that you have right now is your time. You're telling him, I love you so much that I'm going to give you the gift of my time, and I'm going to take time with you, to learn about your word, to fellowship with others, the gathering of the saints that we're doing through this live broadcast, through this online thing, if you're streaming online. We're giving God the gift of time. We're tithing back to him without time. Because he gave us the breath of life right now to take time to do it. Amen? James 4:14, he says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then you vanish. We're using that because it shows you how precious time is. It shows you how precious time is. You may or may not be here tomorrow. It's not promised to none of us. It's not promise to any of us, but thankful for God's grace, thankful for his mercy, thankful for his blood covering. Thank you for the prayers of the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous ones, the saints that intercede for us, to cover us. Thankful for the prayers of healing. Thankful for the prayers of all those things. You know all of that takes time? Do you know that? Do you know that it takes time to prepare what needs to be taught today? Do you know that it takes time to sit into the presence of God to hear what he wants to be delivered and not just throw something together and say, oh, I know this subject intellectually? It's not about an intellectual thing. It's about a God thing. It takes time to sit in his presence and say, okay, Daddy, what do you want revealed today? What do you want talked about today? What scriptures do you want us to study today? It takes time. And Daddy wants your time, and he wants you to be able to give your time to other individuals and bless them with prayers and joy and singing and psalms and praying and dance and anything that you're gifted with. Amen? So let's talk about the next thing about time and the gifts, giving of your talents. Let's talk about that, giving of your talents. Each and every one of us is talented with something. There's nobody that's listening to this broadcast or that may listen in the future that you can say that you don't have nothing. And if you think that you don't have nothing, you really need to sit back and really get in the presence of God and ask God to show you how much he's blessed you with knowledge and capabilities and skills. And don't think that anything that God has given you is small. Don't think anything that God has given you is small. If you know how to clean, that's a gift, because many people don't know how to clean. Clean thoroughly? No. A lot of people are not gifted with that, to be able to keep things clean. If you know how to organize, a lot of people are not gifted with organization and administration. If you know how to count, accounting and finances, a lot of people are not gifted with that. I'm a contract manager. I love to read. I can read a contract and find an error in it and that nobody probably would have saw, because they just so quick to, I look thoroughly at things. I'm gifted with that. It's not boring to me. So I can bless somebody with that, reviewing their contract, preparing contracts with them. Amen? So anything that you have that Father has blessed you with, that you can do with ease or effort, is a gift. And don't take it lightly. Don't think it's, oh, that's nothing. It's always something, because you are uniquely and creatively designed by God, and you can do something that no one else can. Amen? So let's talk about the gifts of talent. Go to me to Matthew 25, and we're going from verse 14 through verse 30. It talks about the parable of the talents. So he says, starting at verse 14, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the saints came and settled accounts with them." Verse 20, "So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You who have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent into the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Why did Father tell us to read that? Because we don't always have to look at talent as a monetary form. We can look at talent as what you are capable of doing, capable of complying with. If you're able to do something, don't sit on your talents. Don't sit on them. Don't bury them. Don't bury them. Get up. Activate them. Do something with them. Even if it's just to someone else to be a blessing to them. Your talents are priceless. What you can do in the body of Christ is so needed, just in the body of Christ. What you can do is very important. So don't sit there and just think that you don't have a life. Don't sit there and think that you don't have anything to give. You have much to give. You have to look within inside yourself, and you have to look at what God has blessed you with and your capabilities, even thinking, to be able to think, be able to multitask. Do you know a lot of people can't multitask, and no bashing, but a lot of men can't multitask. My son, he can't multitask. He can't. If he's cooking and I ask him to do something like close the refrigerator at the same time, he can't do that. Where I can cook, I can push the stroller with one foot and lean over with the other hand and close the refrigerator at the same time and talk on the phone with a headset. He can't do that. That's a gift. That's a gift that you can go and bless somebody with in a busy environment. Or you can go in an environment that just needs a little bit more time and you can knock out a lot of stuff with your time because you can multitask. Don't sit on that. And what he was saying here is that when you are able to give, you'll get more back. You'll get more back and enter into the joy of the Lord. You'll receive much more back. It's time for us to be a people to give. It's time for us to have a heart to look out for others instead of ourselves. And I guarantee you, when you get into that mindset of looking after someone else or doing something for someone else, all the things that you need done in your household, in your life, in your family, it will get tended to. Because you know who's going to tend to it? God's going to take care of it. Because God said, if you're tending to my sheep, then I'm going to tend to your business. Because you're being a person after God's own heart, giving of your time and giving of your talent, showing him that I'm not going to just sit on what you have given me, what you have blessed me with. I'm going to be a blessing to someone else. Amen? Let's look at another thing. He gave me this other scripture. It's out of Luke 7, 36 through 50. Go there with me. Luke 7, 36 through 50. And he talks about Jesus at the home of Simon the Pharisee. So verse 36, it says, a Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him. And Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat. In that town was a woman who lived a sinful life. She heard that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house. So she brought an alabaster jar full of perfume and stood behind Jesus by his feet, crying and wetting his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed him, and poured the perfume on them. When the Pharisee saw this, he said to himself, if this man really were a prophet, he would know who this woman is who is touching him, and he would know what kind of sinful life she lives. Now, remember, this is a Pharisee. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Yes, teacher, he said, tell me. The teacher, Jesus says, there were two men who owed money to a moneylender, Jesus began. One owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. Neither of them could pay him back, so he canceled the debt to both. Which one then will love him more? I suppose, answered Simon, that it would be the one who is forgiven more. You are right, said Jesus. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I came. You provided me no olive oil for my head, but she has covered my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love she has shown proves that her many sins have been forgiven. But whoever has been forgiven, little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The others sitting at the table began to say to themselves, who is this? Who even forgives sins? But Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Father was showing us in this scripture, first of all, not to be so holier than thou like the Pharisees that only speak one thing and walk a different way. If we're going to walk this walk, we can't be in two cities at the same time. We can't be in the city of man and we can't be in the city of God. We can't be so judgmental of other people and we still ain't got our lives in order. And each and every one of us is walking this walk, no matter what title we have. So our focus is to be on God, and our focus is to be on cleansing inner self. That's first and foremost, and that's what he was showing me in this scripture. That's one. Second, most importantly, he was showing us what she gave of her talent. She was a sinful woman. So we don't know what type of sins that she was doing, but we can imagine if she was a woman, maybe she was in the streets a lot. Maybe she, you know, was selling her body. We don't know. It doesn't give us details, but we're just thinking she was a woman. Right? So now they're saying if he knew what this woman's sins was, basically he wouldn't even let her touch him. That's what the Pharisee, that's what Simon was saying. That's what we perceive out of that. But she did whatever she could do to bless Jesus with her time and whatever she knew of what her talents was. She's crying hysterically because she's in the presence of God, and I can just imagine the anointing that was in that atmosphere. I could just imagine the healing that she was receiving from her sins. I could just imagine how honored she was to sit at his feet because she probably was so full of embarrassment and shame to be in the presence of such a king, to be in the presence of somebody that was going around, my God, that was going around healing people, that was going around with so much power and authority, that was going around teaching the word, and people was just falling at his feet, that was bringing masses of people. He was like a star. He was a big person. Can you imagine? So now she's resting in this atmosphere, and she's laying at his feet, and she's crying. And all she could think about is, okay, well, I don't have water to wet and wash his feet, so I'm going to wash his feet with my tears. I don't have a towel like the Simon does. So I'm going to use my hair, and I'm going to dry up his feet. I don't have oil. I don't have the anointed oil. I don't have any olive oil that I'm supposed to do to anoint his head, but I got this one bottle of perfume, and I'm going to use it to bless him, to anoint him with this one bottle of perfume. She used every bit of talent in her. She used every bit that she knew what she can do to bless him right there on the moment, right there in that spot. She didn't walk away and say, well, no, I don't have nothing right now. I'm just going to leave it alone, and maybe I'll see him again, and then I could think of something, or I can go and gather something else to bless him. And she didn't worry about who was around and who saw what she was doing. She didn't worry about none of that, and that's what a lot of us got to do. We got to lose ourselves, like my pastor Renata always said. You got to lose yourself and get into the presence of God and allow God to move in you, through you, and for you. We're talking about giving, giving of your time, giving of your talents. And then what else we talk about? Giving of finances. Now, finances is not what God needs. God uses us to bless other people financially. A lot of the churches have really exploited this topic because of the prosperity messages. Oh, give this amount of money and you're going to be blessed. If you know the commandments of God, if you understand the commandments of God, if you understand the love of God, if you have an intimate relationship with God, then you should already know that you are already blessed. Now, I'm not taking away from you giving. We're going to talk about that. But with this subject about giving of monetary form, about giving of finances, first and foremost, you need to use discernment. You need to let the Holy Spirit speak in you, speak through you, and follow the Holy Spirit. When you do give of monetary form, when you do give of your finances, you need to be given on good ground, good soil, where you can see the fruit and the harvest of God manifesting, going throughout people, going throughout the areas, the regions. And when you do give, whatever entity that you are giving to, which is, this is a big one right here, make sure you catch it, don't count the money of the entity that you're giving it to. Don't sit there and worry about how much they're receiving and who's giving what and what they're doing with the money. If the Holy Spirit told you to give, you give cheerfully. And you give knowing that you are giving what? Because you are being a blessing and you are being used by God. Amen? Let's think about this before we go into the scriptures on giving of money. Because I'm going to use a lot of common scriptures right now. But let's think about what happens with this. There is a cost that's associated with anything. We talked about that your time cannot even properly be compensated. Your time with your talent, your time with anything cannot be compensated appropriately because it is a priceless thing. There is no monetary label or dollar value that you can place on that. That's why we feel, all of us feel like we're underpaid at our jobs, because they can't compensate you for the time that you take away from your family, the time that you take away from your husband, the time that you take away from your kids, the time that you take away from yourself, pampering yourself, the time that you take away from spending with God. There is no job that can truly compensate that. Amen? So there's always a cost that's associated with anything. When you go for a walk, if you go walk for a mile, you really are not going to go walking without something to drink. Even going for a walk costs. If you want to be real about this, even going for a walk will cost you something. Why? Because if you got a bottle of water, you had to pay something for that bottle of water, whether it's $1.25 or $2, whatever the cost in your country is, you had to pay for that. If you got it from the faucet and then put it in the bottle and put it in the refrigerator, you had to pay for the electricity for the bottle of water to go in the refrigerator for it to get cold. Or if you pay for water, you had to pay for the water to even put the water in the bottle to put it in the refrigerator for it to get cold for you to take it with you for you to go for a walk. There's a cost that is associated with everything. So when you have the act of righteousness, when you are walking and following and obeying the commandments of God, when you are loving God with your heart so much and Father tells you to bless someone or bless an entity or bless them with monetary form, all you need to worry about doing is how quickly can I do this blessing and walk away from it. That's it. And you need to use discernment. I was in the store yesterday. I went to the store because I wanted to get me a brownie. I went to the store to get me a brownie so I could make me a fudge brownie a la mode. And the only store that sells this type of brownie that I want is at 7-Eleven. And usually there's a lot of people that's outside that may be homeless. They may be panhandling. I don't know. I don't care. But I went into the store, and I used my card to get me this brownie, and I was walking out the store. And now there was an individual that was outside, and he said, "Do you have any spare change?" And I looked at him, and I looked him in his eyes, and I said, "No, I don't." So I got in my car, and I locked the door, but before I pulled off, I asked Father, "What do you want me to do?" So the first thing I was thinking is, well, maybe I could just use my card to bless him with something to eat. And then I sat there and I bowed my head in the car, and I said, Father, what do you want me to do? And he said, look in your phone. I have a little wallet for my phone. He said, look in your phone. And I never carry cash on me. I only use my card. So I had a $5 bill in my phone. I had a $5 bill in my phone. And I said, you want me to give him the $5? Because I was actually looking for a dollar. I'm going to be honest. So I said, you want me to give him the $5? He said, yes, give him the $5. So I got out the car. And the reason why I went in my car and locked my door first and didn't move and asked Father what to do is because sometimes them people could rob you. You never know. You never know. So you want to always make sure that you're secure and you're safe, that you can hear from God. Amen? So I got back out the car, and I went up to him, and I said, the Holy Spirit told me to bless you. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? He said, yes. I said, do you know who God is? He said, yes. I said, do you believe in him? He said, yes. I said, okay, God told me to bless you, that you needed this. And he looked at it, and it was $5. And you would have thought I wrote this man out a check for $1 million. You would have thought, I mean, a tear came out of his right eye. And he kept saying, God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I got my kids in the car, and I almost started crying because I would have missed out on blessing someone that truly needed it if I was so stuck on self, if I didn't take time to ask God, is that something you want me to do? In everything we do, we are supposed to be looking to be a blessing to someone, to be able to give an act of righteousness in time of need to those that need help. In everything we do, you are supposed to be looking for those type of opportunities because you are blessing. It says in the scripture that you may be blessing an angel of God. Amen? It says it. So let's read some of this. And I felt so honored. And no one knows how that blessing is going to come back around to me. I'm not looking for it to come back around to me, but I know it is going to come back around. You know why? Because anything you do for the least of God's children, he's going to bless you for it. And we don't know why that man was standing out there, but I know he took that $5 and he went on about his way. He had exactly what he needed to move to his next destination because he immediately left. And as I was driving off, he was yelling and shouting, thank you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. And I'm driving, and he's still God blessing me. And I was like, I received all the blessings I could get. I needed all those blessings. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, Mark 12:41-44, it talks about the widow's two mites. It says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. And then the one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which made a quadrant. So he called his disciples. He called his disciples to himself and said to them, surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. This is what we were speaking about earlier. And this is talking about money. But the reason why the finances part is last, because it is a collaboration. These scriptures, you can use them whether you're referencing gifts of your time, gifts of your talents, or gifts of monetary form, gifts of your finances. She put in all that she had, all that she had. It was her livelihood. Like you can bless somebody with your time. That's a part of your livelihood. You can bless somebody with your talents. That if that's all you have, then you do that. Amen? You do that. She had two mites, what I would consider as maybe two pennies, and she put it in there while all of these other people are walking around, and they showboat and putting in what they have because they want to show, oh, I got this, I got that, and she put in all that she has, and I can imagine that she might have felt probably very low, probably very insecure, and God said, look, she put in her whole livelihood. She put in more than any of you guys. So this reference right here, and the Holy Spirit wants you to understand, it doesn't matter how little you have. When he tells you to bless somebody with it, bless them with it. When he tells you to do something, he wants you to do it. Because you know in that act of righteousness that you're doing, you're not incorporating the priceless amount of your time to complete that task of act. You're not incorporating the priceless amount of your talents and how much you're worth for your talents. to complete that act. And you're not incorporating how God is not looking at how much or how little you're doing, but that you're being obedient to doing the much or little. Amen? That act of righteousness in the gift of giving. Acts 20:35. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You are better off to be a giver, to have a heart of giving than to receive. Malachi 3:10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me thou there herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I'm going to pause right here on this one. When I moved out to California in 2005, I moved out here on a leap of faith with my son. I was not a tither. I was not going to give no church 10% of nothing. Okay, I was not thinking about giving them 10% of anything because I was one of them people that was counting their money. You see all these people in here? If we got 5,000 people in here and each one of them give $10, because remember I'm accounting now, and each one of them give $10, they got a whole bunch of money. They don't need my 10%. I'm struggling. I don't have enough money to pay my own bills. This was my mentality. This was my mentality back then, and I know a lot of us can relate to that. But God showed me, just don't worry about that. You're looking at the wrong thing. Keep your eyes on me. He said, test me. I will test me not and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. So when I was first, when I first read that scripture and when it was first taught in church about giving, I sat there and I had my head down. I was really not listening. I went in one ear and out the other. And then the Holy Spirit began to unction me as I continued to grow in the Spirit, as I continued to be around the Word of God, as I continued to develop and understand how much I truly love God, how I wanted to portray Him in every way. I did test Him. And when I tell you, I started tithing, and I started tithing, and I didn't worry about, okay, if I take 10% of this, I need that for the rent, or I need that for this bill, I need that for that bill. How am I going to get it back? I just stood on faith, and I tied it, and God blessed me, and God blessed me. Until this day, God blessed me. Until this day, because of giving, God blesses me. Because I have a heart to give, He blessed me. And I tested Him, and He did prove and show Himself right. He did prove it. I didn't worry about lacking. I didn't worry about, okay, I took this money from that bill and that bill didn't get paid. I didn't worry about any of that. Luke 6:38, he says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, run it over. That means you're going to have more than enough to give to other people. Shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. With the same measure, it should be measured to you again. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Proverbs 19:7, he that hath pity upon the poor lends to the Lord. He that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he have given, will he pay him again. Can you believe that? When you are given to someone that is less fortunate to you, or maybe they're not even less fortunate than you, maybe they have more than you, but it's in that particular time that they need, you're giving them to the Lord. Isn't that an honor to be able to give to God? Because he don't need anything from us. He don't need us to do anything for him. He can do everything himself. He wants us to be willing participants to do for him. Amen? God is great. God is doing a good thing. John 3:16-7 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. We put that scripture at the end because giving of your most precious and valuable thing gives you an eternal blessing. Our focus is to focus on our eternalness, our eternal life, the promises of God, walking in his characteristics, walking in his fruit, displaying his glory, obeying his commandments, walking in his righteousness. So now, after learning all of that, after understanding that, do you want to be that person to be able to give, or do you always want to be on the receiving end? Right now, we always use this time, right now at the end, for those that have listened to the broadcast, maybe for the first time, for those that know about Jesus, that know about Christ, you're hearing all of these things and you're saying, I want to be that person to walk with him and talk with him. I want to be able to give like that wholeheartedly and not look back at what I'm going to get or not look back at that's a sacrifice to me. I just want to be able to do it and trust God and know that he's able to do all things. Right now, we're going to give you the opportunity to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And for those that already know him and you've been backsliding and your heart has turned away from him, we're giving you the opportunity to turn your heart back to him right now. So, Father, in the name of Yeshua, we ask you right now to forgive us for the things that we have done wrong in your sight, known and unknown, in thought, word, and deed. Jesus, Yeshua, the God of our salvation, we ask you to come into our heart, come into our life right now. Be our Lord, be our Savior. We want to be saved. We believe that you died and rose again, and through you we have eternal life. And we accept you as our Lord and our Savior, and we submit our life to you. And we thank you, Lord, that we are saved and we are set free in you. Amen. Now you are free. Now you are new. Follow his ways, follow his commandments, and go after him and look for someone to give of your time, of your talent, and of your monetary form. However you can give, give. Amen. Again, I am Evangelist Yolanda Reeves from Anointed Intercessory Prayer Ministry. You can join our services Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 760-569-7171. Our code is 971674. Our blessing over you guys from number 624 through 26. In our Hebraic tongue, we declare over you, Yerekika Yehovah Ishmereka, Ya'er Yehovah Panave Leka Vihuneka, Yisai Yehovah Panave Leka, Ve'asim Leka Shalom. And we just literally declare that scripture, that may Yehovah the Lord bless you and keep you. May Yehovah the Lord lift up his face and shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may Yehovah the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We say shalom to each and one, every one of you. God bless you. We love you. And God loves you too.